Now, let me ask you something. How many of you have ever, one point in time, talk about creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit? How many of you have ever, one point in time, you and your spouse went out to a restaurant, maybe a nice Italian restaurant, like the one Pastor took us to today, and you're sitting there, and you got candlelight on the table going, and you got romantic music going in the background. You're both looking in each other's eyes all lovey-dovey like, Pastor Rick. Maybe you have one of those Lady and the Tramp scenes where you both have a piece of spaghetti. What's going on? You created a what? There was an atmosphere created. The reason I say that is because I see some of you ladies looking at me like, I don't know what man you're talking about, because that surely ain't mine. Guys, you're going to have to step up your game tonight. The reason I said that was because I remember my wife and I, our very first anniversary, we went to a restaurant called Angelo's. It was an Italian restaurant, and I remember for a dude, that was like romantic to me, man. I didn't think dudes could get romantic, but I thought that was romantic, sitting there. We had that candlelight going on, soft, little music going on. We had a little corner spot. What happened? There was an atmosphere created. And I remember the first time my wife and I, we the first house we ever bought, or we were running it at the time, there was a three-bedroom house we had. And we had one for an office, but she said, I want to take this one room, and I just want to make it a place for me to get alone with God. So she put a rocking chair in there, and she had a rug in there and a radio playing Christian music. I'd walk by, she'd be reading her Bible, she'd be praying in the Spirit. And sometimes I'd walk by that room, and I would feel this, just the presence of God just pouring out of that room. What happened? She created a what? An atmosphere for the Spirit of God. How many know that we can create an atmosphere for him? Amen? Now, I want to tell you, I believe sometimes we can create an atmosphere so much that we get so caught up, we lose all track of time. How many have ever been there before? My wife and I, we were traveling to North Carolina one time, and she took over for me driving, and I was sitting over in the passenger seat, and we had music playing. I was praying in the Spirit. I was so caught up that we had stopped to go to the restroom. And I had no recollection of ever getting out of the car and going in. I said, when are we going to stop go to the bathroom? She says, you serious? She said, we stopped like a half hour ago. I don't even remember. Because how many remember when John said, on the Lord's day, come on now, on the Lord's day, I was caught up in the what? In the Spirit. I believe that we can lose, when we create that kind of atmosphere, we can lose such track of time, we have no idea what's even going on around us. Come on now. That's what happens when we create that atmosphere. So let's go ahead and get into our first scripture verse tonight. We're going to be over in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at verse 1 and verse 2. We're going all the way back to the beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering on the waters. Some translations say he moved upon the waters. If you're reading maybe a certain translation, how many says moved there? Those words mean the same exact thing, hovering and moving. Now notice here, even in the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit has always wanted to move throughout the earth. Now I know this is talking about the account of creation, but I believe since the beginning, the Holy Spirit has always wanted to move. He's always wanted to hover. He's always wanted to move, trying to find some place to move though. How many will let the Holy Spirit move this evening? Come on. Now notice here, it says, the earth was without form, it was void, it was lifeless, it was dark, there was nothing going on. How many know that the Holy Spirit can come into a situation when an atmosphere is created and start moving? It might seem lifeless, it might seem void, it might seem like nothing's going on, all hope is lost, and the Holy Spirit can come in and start moving. But that atmosphere has to be created. See, I believe that he was waiting for God to create man. to be able to start moving throughout the earth in man. Come on now. Now notice there, that word hovering, it means moving. This word means, in the Hebrew, as a mother hen would take her chicks and put them under her wings. And as she moved, that shadow would be under, those chicks would be under the shadow of her wing. And everywhere her wing would go, those chicks would go right underneath it at all times. And they knew if they got out from underneath the shadow, they knew they weren't under protection anymore. See, my friends, I believe that's what happens when that atmosphere is created, that the Holy Spirit will have that overshadowing presence to where we'll be able to move when He's moving. Come on now. Did you get that? We'll be able to move when He starts moving. Now remember that, because that's going to be very important here in the next few minutes. Go ahead and take a look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at verses 34 and 35. When you're there, say there. Now remember what I said about the Spirit hovering and those chicks being underneath the wings. Remember, that's going to be very important here. Look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now notice there's two things that we're going to take a look at here. In these two verses. One is that the Holy Spirit was to come upon you. You see that there? Now this phraseology, this "come upon you," is only found twice in the Bible. It's found right here in Luke chapter 1. And can anybody remember where the other time this is found, this phraseology of coming upon you? Anybody remember? Huh? Acts, that's right. Acts what? 1:8, that's right. Where it says the Holy Spirit will what? Come upon you. Now in both instances where it talks about this phrase of coming upon you, it has to do with who? Talking about the Holy Spirit, right? He says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Over there in the book of Acts and here in Luke, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon you. So when an atmosphere is created, the Holy Spirit will come upon us. But we have to create that atmosphere for Him to be able to come upon us tonight. Come on now. You know how you create that atmosphere? Starting to get ready what you were doing there just 5 minutes ago. Amen? We got to create that atmosphere for Him to come upon us. Now, we see here that it will come upon us. Now, this word "come upon you," it means to approach, to overtake, to come to, or to arrive. So when we create an atmosphere, the Holy Spirit will approach us, He'll overtake us, He'll come to us, and He'll arrive. How many want the Holy Spirit to approach us tonight? Come on. How many want the Holy Spirit to overtake you tonight? To arrive tonight? Come on. That's what that "come upon you" means. He's going to approach you, overtake you. He's going to come to you. He's going to arrive tonight if you create that atmosphere. Now the second word we're going to look at, we talked about that phrase "come upon you." The second one we're going to look at is that "overshadow." Now "overshadow" means to surround, to envelop, to cover, to unfold, to engulf, to encircle, to encompass, to enclose, or to cocoon. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do tonight, my friends. Oh, He wants to surround us. He wants to cover us. He wants to unfold us, to engulf us, to encircle us, to encompass us, and close us. And I love that last one. When a caterpillar, when he goes into that cocoon, he goes in something ugly looking, doesn't he? Come on now, right? But when he comes out, baby, he looks something beautiful, doesn't he? And that's what that overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit can do in your life. He can transform you. That's why we need that overshadowing presence when he comes, when that atmosphere is created. Now, this one time I was in a church and I heard this guy tell me this story. And I would have never believed it. unless I really trusted the guy. But he had told me a story about when he was at Zion Bible Institute, which is now North Point Bible College. He said he was there, and 300 students saw what I was just talking about, that overshadowing presence, that enveloping of the Spirit of God. And he said there was a cloud that covered the chapel service. 300 students saw this. From the back end of the chapel all the way to the front, they experienced that overshadowing presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need tonight, my friends. We need that overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit tonight. You might say, does God want to show up like that? My friends, God is sovereign. He'll show up however He wants. But you've got to create the atmosphere for Him to be able to show up in. Amen? So, take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at verses 20 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. And when you're there, say there. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. Who were they moved by? The Holy Spirit. Notice here it says that it never came by the will of man. Listen, your wants and your wills and your emotions can never get the Spirit of God to move. But I'll tell you what can get Him to move if you woo Him. Remember I talked about how being on those romantic dinners, my friends, that's all the Holy Spirit wants is it. You know, we sing songs about that all the time, don't we? We sing love songs all the time to God and to the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, we need You. We need more of You. We want more of You. Come and fill this place. We talk. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants us to woo Him. Amen? Now notice here, it says it never came by the will of man. My friends, we can't ever get the Spirit of God, but we sure can woo Him, can't we? Now notice here, it says, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. My friends, I want to be moved by the Holy Spirit tonight. But sometimes the Holy Spirit might be waiting for me to start wooing Him, to get Him to want to move. We have to know how to... You know, some of us guys, when we first started going out with our spouses, we dated and we laid it on thick and we're like, oh, baby, you know what? And we were so charming, weren't we? That's how we got to be with the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, that's how it is sometimes in our relationships. That's how it's the same way a relationship with God sometimes too. We stop wooing Him. Stop saying how much we love You, how much we need You. Amen? Now notice here it says they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that even though that they were moved by the Holy Spirit, you can begin to move the Holy Spirit? Come on now, right? How many of you have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth before? Go ahead and raise your hand if you've ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth. I had heard this quote a long time ago. Pastor Rick, Pastor Sam, I don't know if you've ever heard this quote before. But Smith Wigglesworth said that if the Spirit of God doesn't move, I'm going to move the Spirit. How many of you have ever heard that quote before from Smith Wigglesworth? The first time I had ever heard that quote, I thought to myself, that is the most arrogant thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would Smith Wigglesworth ever say anything like that? So I went and I did some research to see why he ever said anything like that. And I found the account of why he said that. And let me read it to you. It says that one day he was in a strange town in a search for a place to worship. He found himself a friend's meeting place, and he sat quietly just like the others for a time. And then his experience became like that of a psalmist. And he began to sing, while my musing, my fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongues. My soul was ablaze, and liquid fire flowed from his lips. At the close of the service, the leaders came up to him and said, how quickly you were moved by the Spirit, Smith Wigglesworth. We want to know, what's your secret? And he looked them right in the eyes. And he said, it's like this. If the Spirit of God's not going to move, I'm going to move the Spirit. And the men looked at him, they gasped. And they said, how dare you, Smith, ever say something so rude like that? That is rude. How dare you say that you can get the Spirit of God to move? And he stopped them right there in his tracks and he said, it's like this. I, in my natural man, by faith, start to worship God and start to get the Spirit of God to move. And then He comes and He meets me and anoints me. Come on now. That though what I started in the natural man by faith, He continues it on in the Spirit. Come on now. That's good stuff. See, in the natural man, by faith, we can get the Spirit of God to start moving. Then He starts to take over. That's what has to happen. In the natural man, by faith, we start doing it. He meets us and anoints us. Because let's face it right now, without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't do anything without Him, right? Come on now. He meets us and He anoints us to carry on the task. That's what Smith Wigglesworth said. So, let me ask you a question tonight. How are we going to get the Spirit of God to move? Huh? How are we going to do it? You know, I had somebody ask me a few months back, how do we get the Spirit of God to move? And I had one answer for him. You ready for this? You ready for it? It's pretty dramatic. You ready? Everybody give me a drum roll on their laps. Go ahead. Go ahead. You ready for this? Ready? Here it is. Here it is. Ready? 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 Get out of the way! Come on. That's the reason we can't get the Spirit of God to move. We're too much in the way. Come on now. That's why we can't get the Spirit of God to move. We get too much in the way. And I joke around about this. My wife says I shouldn't say this because I'm going to eventually get myself in trouble one day. But it's sad that the Holy Spirit has to go to the board sometimes in churches and ask, is it okay for me to move? And if He ain't put down on the agenda, it ain't going to happen. My friends, the Holy Spirit can't move like that. You know what? I've been in churches before, especially the bigger ones, and it's like, it's almost cringing to me sometimes. They'll hand me a sheet of paper telling me everything that I need to do down to the very last minute. I can't let the Holy Spirit can't move like that. You got 15 minutes for this, you got 5 minutes for that, and 12:05, you better have us out. Well, I told him, I said, well, my altar call lasts till 2, 3 o'clock sometimes. That ain't going to work. My friends, we can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. We can't tell Him when He can move and when He's not. We got to get out of the way. Amen. How many were willing to get out of the way tonight? So we talked about tonight about He's going to come upon us. He's going to overshadow us. He's going to hover over us. But my friends, there's things we got to do tonight to get Him to move. Getting out of the way is one of them. Amen. We're going to take a look at a few other ones. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. When you're there, say there. This is what it says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of what? All. Who's going to profit when the Spirit of God's allowed to manifest Himself? All. Now, you know, Pastor Rick, Pastor Sam, you guys can verify this for me. But if you go down through that chapter, and you go down to verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, you can even look there for yourself. It starts talking about the gift of helps and the gift of prophecy and speaking in tongues and interpretation and all that. And all that's supposed to be for the what? Profit of all. So guess what? Guess who the Holy Spirit's going to use to be able to move through? It's going to be you. It's going to be us. The Spirit of God, when He begins to move sometimes, He'll move through us. And He'll move through the giftings and the talents and the abilities that He's given us. Whether it's a message in tongues, an interpretation, prophecy, the gift of helps, the gift of healing, whatever it may be, He may use you like that. But see, what the problem is sometimes, we don't allow the Spirit of God to manifest Himself through us. Now, I was talking to Pastor this morning, and we had a message in tongues, and I said, has it been a long time since you've had that? He said, no, that's pretty regular here. And that's how it should be in church, amen? Especially if we're Pentecostal. But there's some Pentecostal churches, they haven't heard a message in tongues. No lie, I was in a church 2 months ago, and they had their first message in tongues. I asked the pastor, I said, when was the last time you saw this? He says, I've been here 6 years. It's the first time it's ever happened. But see, what happens is we don't want God to use us. We don't allow God to manifest himself through us, move through us. And then we wonder, where's the Spirit of God? Why isn't stuff like this happening? If we're Pentecostal, why doesn't this stuff happen? It's because we're not allowing him to manifest himself through us. We won't allow it. Because we get shy, we get bashful. Oh, what about if I get it wrong? Don't worry about it if you get it wrong. If you get it wrong, Pastor Sam will take care of it. Amen. He'll love you. He'll love on you and say, hey, maybe the Spirit of God wasn't saying that. But you got to allow the Spirit of God to manifest himself through you. Amen. I heard a story one time. You know, we're talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. I heard this story one time about a young boy. He went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I'm believing for a pony. And the pastor looked at him and said, I'll be believing with you, son. Just wait for the manifestation. The second week went by, the little boy went back to the pastor. He said, Pastor, I'm still believing for a pony. He says, just wait for the manifestation, son. Third week went by, he said, Pastor, I'm still believing for my pony. Just wait for the manifestation, son. 4 weeks went by, 5 weeks went by, 6 weeks went by, 7 weeks went by. Finally, the boy was so fed up by the eighth week, he walked up to the pastor and he said, Pastor, when's this man from the station going to bring me my pony? See, that's what happens to us sometimes. We get confused by what the manifestation of the Spirit is. Just like that little eight-year-old boy. We don't know what is it for the Spirit of God to manifest himself. My friends, we can't be confused about what the manifestation is. If he's going to move through us, he's going to move through each and every one of us. And it's going to be for the profit of all. But we got to get out of the way, and we got to allow him to manifest himself through us. Right? So that's one way if we're going to create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in, we got to get out of the way and allow him to manifest himself through us. I remember my wife and I, we were at a church a few months back. And before I tell you this story, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. You can turn there real quick. It's just very short. I can just quote it to you. But it says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what it says? Don't quench him. I believe there's one translation that says, don't grieve him. And when we don't allow him to manifest, we grieve him. We quench that spirit. We quench the Spirit of God. I was at a few months, well, actually, this is a few years back. I was at a church, and before I got there, the pastor was asking me what my view of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. And I told him, I said, I believe it's for power, for witnessing, and I believe that tongues is the physical evidence of it. And he asked me, well, do you think that that's the only evidence of it? And I said, yeah, I believe it is the physical evidence. And, you know, no other problems. But when I got there and I met with him, he said, I just want you to know something up front. I'm the most non-Pentecostal Pentecostal you were ever going to meet. Pastor Rick, I had 10 minutes before I had to go off for the first service. I didn't know what I was supposed to do with that. What do I do with that, Pastor? So I just go out and do what I do. And I remember there was a guy. He was sitting off in the corner. And I ended up having people come up to me afterwards telling me they'd never seen anything like that before in the church. It just wasn't allowed. But this guy, he got up and gave a thus saith the Lord prophecy like you wouldn't believe. And you could tell that he was afraid because he was trembling when he gave it. He knew that kind of stuff wasn't allowed there. And he just sat right back down. But my friends, how often we quench the Holy Spirit? We just don't allow him to move in our services because we quench him. Right? Take a look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 24. Talking about creating an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in. Look what John chapter 4, verse 24 says. God is what? And those who worship him must. Worship him in the Spirit and in truth. Do you know what one way of getting the Spirit of God to move real quickly? Is worshiping Him in the Spirit. Right? I'll tell you what, if there's any way of creating an atmosphere, that surely does it. Go ahead, right now. I want you to just begin to worship Him right now in the Spirit. Go ahead. Vira sondora masi kerano none masi e torata maie teva sandorota. Watch how quickly the atmosphere changes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Vassando no moie di danirato cui e bereto. Shala nonena siete na no so de mo cui a pate nende. Nasine ne mo cui e banano de vassati mede. I don't know if you feel that, but I can sense that. It's changing right there. Go ahead. Now go ahead. The Bible says that those who worship Him must worship Him in the Spirit. Paul said, go ahead, keep it up. Paul said, I won't only just worship Him in my natural man. I just won't pray with my natural man, but I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing with my Spirit. So go ahead. Go ahead and just take that right now, that praying that you're doing right now, and go ahead and turn it over, just singing in the Spirit right now. Go ahead. Go ahead. Nasoro madiando malayalando ebereando kea vilana nayatato silerano nomeati eborate soro makuyate mano noyati atomayata ya. Go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, worship Him in the Spirit. Go ahead. Go ahead, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Sile da dinata yato. Sanoro matia doki marire. Mana nore matore betna toye beta. There it is, there it is. Go ahead. Change that atmosphere. Create that atmosphere. Go ahead. My, my, my. I feel that changing right there. It is. There it is. It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. Mora marere da neniato. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Man, you see how quickly the atmosphere changed doing that. Those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Come on, now sometimes when you're praying in the Spirit, you just need to change over and just go, and then just change that right on over, and that's just singing in the Spirit. Let it flip over. See how it changes the atmosphere, my friends. Next point we're going to look at. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Go ahead, one more time. If God is good, I just want you to give Him a shout. Come on, if God is good, give Him a shout. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'm reading this from the NIV version. For those, this is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about creating an atmosphere for the Spirit of God. It says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. I love what one translation says. It says, the sons and daughters of God will be led by the Spirit of God. Listen, if we are going to create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in, we have to know how to be led by the Spirit. Right? We can't create an atmosphere unless we know how to be led to do so. Amen? Now, there's so many, you know, so many places nowadays that said, oh, we're being led by the Spirit. I was telling Pastor this at lunch. I was at a church one time of a church of about 700 people. The pastor invited me. He said, I want you to come. I heard about all the healing testimonies. We want you to come. And we got there, and I preached, and then I went to go give the altar call. And he jumped up, and he grabbed the microphone, and he said, okay, that's great. And he shut the service down. And then after the service, he could see, I guess, he could see that I was a little upset about it. He came up to me, he says, hey, I just want to tell you, we don't do altar calls here. He said, we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. We want to make people feel out of place. So we just don't do that here. And I looked at him. I said, well, Pastor, how am I supposed to pray with people if I can't get them to the altar? He didn't have any answer for me. Well, my friends, this is what's going on in some of our churches today. Pentecostal churches won't have an altar call because they're afraid that it's going to offend people or hurt, make people feel weirded out. Let me tell you something, my friends. When Charles Finney was having altar calls back in the 1800s, I don't think he was worried about freaking people out. But nowadays we got to be picture perfect. We don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. My friends, we now ought to know how to be led by the Spirit of God tonight. Now listen, you can be personally led by the Spirit of God to go in a direction, but you better hope that lines up with what Pastor's feeling. Because if you get up and start doing a Jericho march, come on now, how many know what a Jericho march is? Come on now. But let me tell you something. If you get up and just start doing a Jericho march and you aren't really led by the Spirit of God and you're up marching around by yourself, you're going to look pretty foolish. Amen? That's right. I've seen people get up and say, I'm going to go right into Jericho march. I start going into a Jericho march and start dancing around the church, just going around the church, marching, and wasn't nobody. Let me tell you something. When you get a real Jericho march going and it's really been led by the Spirit of God, everybody's going to get on board with it and go with it. So we got to know, because let me tell you something. You go on Jericho marching by yourself, you're going to look foolish. You better hope that you feel led by the Spirit of God. And above all, you better run it past Him first. Because He's the head. He's going to know. We have to know how to be led by the Spirit of God, amen? I was preaching at a church one time, and we were just having one of the best altar calls we had seen. And one of the visiting pastors from from the town there, the altar call was going on, and people were just laid out in the Spirit and just everything. It just the Spirit of God was moving. And this local pastor walked up to me and said, hey, I'm feeling led right now to have everybody get in the service. Now, there was probably at least maybe 100 or so people there in the evening service. And he says, I feel led right now that we all need to get in a circle and hold hands. I'm pretty much saying kumbaya. And I said, brother, I don't feel led that we're supposed to do that right now. And he went and he pestered the pastor of the church until he did that. You know what happened to the altar call? Just went right downhill. Because we weren't being led by the Spirit of God. My friends, you've got to know how to be. If there's anything I've trained myself how to do, is how to be led by the Spirit. When He's done moving, I'm done moving. When He's ready to move, I'm ready to move. I know sometimes people will watch me during the altar call and say, what in the world are you waiting for? I'm waiting for Him. That's what we need to be doing. Waiting for Him. Seeing what direction. Being led on where to go next. Where is He taking it next? So we have to know how to be led by the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what, my friends, there's so many churches don't know how to be led by the Spirit anymore. You know, a lot of churches, they're being led by gimmicks nowadays. Don't get me wrong, I love bringing a Bible to church and having a cup of coffee in the oven. But nowadays, churches think that if they don't have, you know, a laser light rock show. How many of you have been to those churches before? Laser light rock shows with a fog machine. I've been in churches where the fog machine was so thick I had to take my glasses off and wipe the mist out of my eyes because the fog machine was so thick. Like I was at a rock concert. I had a pastor tell me one time, he says, "Hey, we're just trying to set the mood here." I said, "Set the mood? Like we're sitting back in the college days with a lava lamp in our dorm room smoking a doobie or something." He said, "We got to set a mood." My friends, we don't need to set no mood. We need to create an atmosphere tonight. Amen. This isn't about setting a mood. I want to create an atmosphere for him to move in tonight. Now the biggest thing is that you got to have a beach ball in your worship service. If you haven't seen it, it's the biggest, latest thing. All these churches now, they got a beach ball and they're bouncing around during worship service. That's a big thing now. Oh, how we take our eyes off of worship by having a beach ball, huh? This is what churches, this is what they think is happening in church now. Some of these churches nowadays, they say, well, they advertise, you know, we got the best coffee in town. Usually before I go to a church, I go on their website to see what they're all about before I go there. I had this one church contact me. I went on their website. I said, yeah, I ain't going there. This is how they advertise their church. Coffee, community, Christ. The three big C's. Coffee, community, Christ. Christ was last. You know how they advertise the front page of their homepage? A big cup of coffee. There was no belief system, no nothing, just a big cup of coffee. That's it. See, this is what happens. We can tell people, you know, I've heard churches say, we got the best coffee in town. But here's the thing. Once they realize you're serving them Folgers, and they can get that themselves, they're going to stop coming. My friends, this isn't being led by the Spirit, amen? It's being led by gimmicks. And I want to tell you, we'll never be able to create an atmosphere if we're being led by gimmicks. Go ahead and just shoot up a few verses. We were there in verse 14 of Romans 8. Go ahead and just shoot up to 8 and 9 now. And this is what it says. So then, you are not in the flesh. He says, so then, those who are not in the flesh cannot please God. Are we in the flesh tonight, my friend? No. Look what he says. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Can we please God if we're in the flesh? No. But look what he says here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the what? In the Spirit. Listen, if we do things in the flesh, my friends, we can never be Spirit-led. But if we're in the Spirit, it's no holds barred, my friends. God can just do whatever he wants. Look, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't please God in the flesh, but he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Where's the Spirit of God at tonight, my friends? He's in us. How hard should it be for us to create an atmosphere then? Huh? Not hard at all. He says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. My friends, the Spirit of God's in us tonight. We're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. If we're going to create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God, we have to get out of the flesh and into the what? Into the Spirit. How many are ready to jump in tonight? Come on, jump into what the Spirit's all about tonight. Get out of the flesh and jump into the Spirit. Amen? I just want Pastor Sam or Pastor Rick, if you wouldn't mind, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 through 16. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. I just want somebody to verify that everything I'm saying is true. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 through 16. I'm not going to read it because it's too long to read. I'm just going to expound on what it says. I'm going to take you to the story about when David went to go get the Ark of the Covenant. How many remember this story? When David went to go get the Ark. And what happened was, it says that David, when they went to go get the new cart, it says that they went to go put the Ark on a what? A cart. That's right. What kind of cart? What kind of cart? A new cart. Now, I have no idea if there was any old carts sitting around, but they decided to use a new cart. And one day when I was reading that, something really just jumped out at me. What was wrong with the old carts? There might not have been anything wrong with them, but they decided they were going to use something new. And I believe that's what happens to us sometimes, and that's the reason why the Spirit of God can't move, is we decide that we're going to do a new, bigger, better thing. When there might not have been anything wrong with the old thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen some stuff that's got to go. Okay? And there has to be a fair balance between the old and the new sometimes. But not every time everything's new doesn't mean it's always better, my friends. Right? Come on now. Would you rather have your brand new car that keeps on breaking down and you have to take it into the shop all the time, your 2016 breaking down all the time? Or would you rather have your Mustang, 1965 Mustang that never breaks down? Come on now. Right. Come on now. Right. My brother, he collects cars. Let me tell you something. He has a brand new Cobra and he has an old Mustang. And he'd rather take that old Mustang or that new Mustang any day. Sometimes we have to have a fair balance between the old and the new. But what happens sometimes is that we think the old is better sometimes and we fight about it. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever heard Chris Tomlin's "How Great Is Our God" done on a pipe organ? Have you ever heard that before on a pipe organ? It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It shouldn't be done. You know that song we did tonight, "Bless the Lord, O My Soul"? Have you ever heard that done on a pipe organ? You don't want to hear it. Horrible. There's some things we need to do away with, right? Believe me, there was a time and a place for the pipe organ. But doing Chris Tomlin songs don't work on a pipe organ. It just doesn't. We got to know how to do away with the old stuff sometimes. Amen? So what ends up happening is it says that they go put the ark on a new cart. And they began to go take the ark. And it says that the ox had stumbled and the ark began to fall. So Uzzah, who was there, put his hand to the what? To the ark. So that it wouldn't fall. What happened to him? Anybody remember? No. He was struck. He was struck down. He was struck dead. Do you know what that tells me about that? He did not know how to handle the presence of God. Come on now. He didn't know how to handle the presence of God. Listen, my friends, we cannot put our hands to the presence of God haphazardly. You ever see people who just nonchalantly just worship God? They just live, they're a big deal, you know. They act like they're not even being in the presence of God is not even a holy thing anymore. My friends, we have to know how to handle the presence of God. If we're going to create an atmosphere, we have to know how to handle the presence. We can't handle it haphazardly, amen? We can't go putting our hand to it just haphazardly. I remember I was preaching down in Virginia a few years back, and a couple from the church took me to Williamsport, and there was an Episcopalian church there that said, "We've been worshiping God with reverence for 300 years. And when I walked to first step into that sanctuary, I looked around, and I could just feel the reverence that was passed down. We have to know how to handle the presence of God. And let me tell you something. We know how to handle the presence of God. It's going to be passed down from generation to generation. Amen. So what ends up happening is David says, "God's unpleased with me. There's no way I can get this ark back to the city of David now." And what ends up happening is it says that the ark went to the house of Obed-Edom for how long? Does anybody remember? Huh? It says that it went for the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And for 3 months, the house of Obed-Edom was what? Blessed. See, the blessing belonged over in the house of God. It belonged over in the house of David. But instead, another one was blessed. And if we don't know how to handle the presence of God, if we don't know how to create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God, that blessing will uplift and it will go somewhere else, my friend. How many know that the blessing belongs here, not anywhere else? Come on now. The presence of God, the blessings of God belongs here, not over at Obed-Edom's house. Belongs here. But we have to know how to handle the presence. David got word that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed, and he said, why should they be getting blessed? The house of God. So he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to get the ark, but this time around, Pastor Rick, he's going to do it right. And it says what happens was that as they began to get the ark and they started taking it back, it says that every six steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they would stop, they would sacrifice an animal, they would slit the throat of the animal, cut up all the parts, put it on the altar, wait for the fire, and do it all over again, every six steps. Can you imagine the time that took? Can you imagine not only the time, imagine the process that it took? And then after that, they did it every six steps. Another six steps, they would stop, slice the throat, put it on the altar, and do it all over again. Can you imagine how long it took to get the ark back? I'll tell you how long it took that. Some scholars believe that it was anywhere from 12 to 100-mile journey from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David, to Jerusalem. Now they were going on foot too. Can you imagine how long it took to get the ark back, to get the presence of God back? Every six steps taking a sacrifice. But that's exactly what it is, my friends. If we're going to create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in, we have to be willing to make a sacrifice. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the presence of God back into the house of God. Come on now. It just shouldn't matter how much the sacrifice. It shouldn't matter how much the time. We're going to do whatever it takes to get His presence back. And finally, they got to the city, and it says that there were cymbals and dancing, and there was stringed instruments and percussion instruments. It says that as David was dancing into the city, he began to twirl. And as he was twirling, Saul's daughter, Michal, looked out of a window, and it says she despised David in her heart for the way that he brought the presence. See, people might not like the way that you're going to bring the presence of God, but guess what? Haters are going to hate, my friend. Amen? But we need to do whatever it takes to get the presence of God back into our churches, back into our services. That is what's going to create an atmosphere when we know how to handle the presence, when we know how to bring the presence of God and do whatever it takes, whatever sacrifice it makes to get the presence back. I want to read one more scripture verse to you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is a spirit. We're talking about creating an atmosphere for the Spirit of God. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Some translations say freedom. My friends, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's the last point that I want to touch on tonight about creating an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in. We have to know that there's freedom. Not freedom to get crazy, but freedom that however God's going to move, we're going to let Him do it. Come on. I'm going to just let Pastor, is there freedom in this place tonight? There's freedom to worship. There's freedom to allow the Spirit of God to manifest Himself through prophecy, through whatever. We're going to allow the Spirit of God to move however He wants tonight. Amen. But we got to know that there's freedom in this place. Now, I want to tell you something right off the bat. My wife and I didn't practice this song, so we're going to try this out. And we usually ask the worship team to do it. You guys can get, you know, join us. But we're going to try this song out because we just feel led to do it. So I want you to go ahead and stand to your feet tonight. We're going to go ahead and enter into the presence of God. We're going to make an altar tonight. And we're just going to enter in. Amen. I am free. And then I want you to do Holy Spirit. So this song is called I Am Free. If you guys have that back here, go ahead and just put it up.